Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually-based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales.
Hello, welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show. I'm Royce Morales, and thank you. Last week we had some technical difficulties, but they're all resolved. Yay! I'm so excited to be talking today with somebody who is just amazing. She's an amazing combination of creativity, spirituality, and filmmaking, and she is certainly living her purpose. And I'm going to introduce her in a minute, but I want to just let you know a little bit more about me. And that is that I've been an artist my entire life. I arrived here with creativity burning out of me, and I majored in three-dimensional art in college, created and ran a gallery that sold only earth-friendly, handcrafted creative items for 21 years in Redondo Beach, and I was also teaching my spiritually-based courses simultaneously. I've always felt a strong connection between spirituality, healing, and creativity. And I didn't know that I felt that way until I started understanding and teaching spirituality. It all kind of put pieces together in my life as to why I was so drawn to the creative process. For me, it was spirituality, and I didn't even realize it. The connection is so profound. Creativity taps into a very deep spiritual part of ourselves. An intuitive aspect of ourselves, whether we know it or not. And I don't know if many artists even know this about themselves, but it's there. It's so profound. But today, sculptor, filmmaker Lori Blakely took it a step further. She's been creating art in Illinois for 25 years. Her organically shaped sculptures are influenced by the forests, wildlife, rocks, and streams of the region that's been the home to her family for seven generations. Her work has been exhibited in museums across Midwestern United States. Now, several years ago, Lori experienced significant people leaving, losing, going away, dying in her life. And it took her a while to process her grief. But she used her art to do this. I'm sorry, I'm reading all this because I don't want to skip anything about her because she's so fascinating. So she used art to help process her grief. And her work was cathartic, but she felt that it was somehow missing the mark. There was something else she was supposed to do with this. And then one night, the idea for the Healing Hands Project just descended upon her. And I'm going to ask her what she means by descended upon her, because I think that's a really important aspect. She envisioned an immersive restorative experience that combined art, music, and film. And the project focused on one main question: how can we find peace despite hardship or loss? You know, that's probably a question for every human being to ask themselves in life. How do you do that? She views healing as an art form to discover more peace and meaning in our lives by reawakening our sense of beauty. And that's very intriguing also. This project took 5 years to unfold, and it was a spiritual creative journey to explore the art of finding peace. That's kind of what it evolved to. It's an uplifting and rejuvenating journey through the art of healing and the power of art. The power of art, that's so important. I teach courses on creativity because of the combination of spirituality and creativity that I experienced in my own life. And I would love to get her take on all this. This film that she created provides a supportive space for viewers to contemplate how to nurture emotional resilience and inner calm. It's won numerous awards, including Best Short Documentary and Best Soundtrack. I'm going to stop talking any minute now. I can't wait for her to share her divinely guided journey with us. And after the break, she's going to air a short trailer to give you a sense of her amazing film. So welcome, Lori Blakely. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a real honor.
My pleasure. I don't even remember how I connected with you, but the minute I saw what you did, I knew you had to be on my show. It's so awesome that you're here. So as I said earlier, a couple minutes ago, the film was divine. I believe the film was divinely guided and definitely your true purpose to bring to the world. So have you always been a filmmaker or is this something new?
Oh, it's completely new. I had a little background in photography, but it was a completely unknown field to me. And I can go into that a little bit. Basically, I'll start with how it descended whole.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
I knew that I wanted my art to be restorative in some way. You know, I saw a lot of people around me suffering. I had friends that were, in depression, having chronic illness. And then my mother was very ill. And it felt like there was a lot of pain around me. And also that I also realized that I was suffering from residual grief from past, you know, losses, and then anticipatory grief, which I just learned about. You know, I was like, how am I going to deal with all the losses that are coming up? And I wanted my art to be restorative in some way. And I had no idea how. And then, so I just let it be. And one night I was taking a bath and it was almost like, you know, an epiphany. It was like the whole idea just came to me. You know, it was like, you're going to do this. It's going to be called this. It's going to involve this. You know, it's going to be called Healing Hands. It'll be an immersive experience with art, music, and film. It will, you'll need to learn how to be a filmmaker.
Oh, and by the way, yeah.
So, and I'm in my 50s. So, you know, and I was in my early mid 50s then. So it was like, man, that's a lot to start. And I also had to learn. So I had to learn documentary structure, editing, lighting, interview techniques, you know. And then I also, for the project, had to learn even some art things like plaster casting. So it was a really steep learning curve.
Wow. And so when you say you were in the bath and suddenly just epiphanized, if that's a word, how did it come through as something external coming to you or it just kind of came to your head? What do you mean by that?
I feel like most of the time when my ideas come for art, it's almost like, I don't know, this sounds strange, but they're almost in the air, you know, and they are looking for someone who is receptive.
Right. You were definitely receptive.
Yeah. There's a great book called, I think it's called Big Magic. Elizabeth Gilbert writes about this a lot. And she goes into the history. I think Romans called them daemons that live in the walls that, you know, kind of just inspire you, you know.
Wow. Did you say demons or daemons?
I think they're D-A-E-M-O-N-S. Oh, okay. So I call them daemons because they're not, I don't want people to think they're like demons. But it's like the genius, I think the word genius used to be from like external, something that came to you. That was the origin of genius.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it did feel like it was just kind of in the air. I don't know if you've ever had this in art, but you, or anything, you come up with a great idea and then someone else, or, you know, you think it, someone else does it.
Yes.
It was in the air then.
It definitely is. Whoever grabbed it first. Yeah. And if you ignore it, somebody does do it for you. Yes. I've had that happen more times than I care to admit. Wow. So, you said something about your age when you started doing this. It just seems like an important message to quote older women. I don't even know what that means anymore, but how do you feel about that? Is that part of it for you?
Definitely. I mean, this, one of the things I learned from doing this was that I can start something kind of monumental, because this is the most personal and involved project I've ever done. And it did take years and years. And I think what I realized was that I thought I was starting over, you know, I thought I was starting from nothing. But what I realized is that I brought a wealth of experience and artistic knowledge and life experience. And that can, that's probably what made the project, you know, it's what gave it depth and perspective. And so that's what I would say to anyone who's contemplating some large, ambitious or overwhelming project, that you're really, what I learned is you're really not starting over. You're actually bringing a lot to it that will enhance it and give it a richness.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So I've had the pleasure of watching your film. It's really amazing. But I was left with a question. I don't remember if you actually addressed this in the movie. How did you find, well, maybe tell people a little bit how, what the film does. And then I have a question about how you found these amazing healing women.
Okay. So the first step when, after this descended upon me, was I had to find the hands for healing hands. And I knew one healer that lived right down the road. I live in a very rural area. I live out in the woods. There was actually a deer that just walked by my window.
See, the deer is listening.
So I only knew one healer, and I just kind of left it up to the universe to find the others. But what I knew I wanted to do was create a film where I asked them questions about loss, gratitude, love, humor, and it moved between their stories and their struggles and my creative process and my reflections. And my creative process was to cast each healer's hand and then create a sculpture around it. And that's kind of how I process my thoughts a lot of times, is through art. And so it made sense in the film to create art as part of it. So I kind of trusted the universe that I would find the others. And what happened was, people would tell me, oh, you need to, you know, go talk to my healer, you know, or I know of this other person. And I decided I was going to be very intuitive and just follow what the universe told me, basically. And I'm not usually like that. I'm usually more controlled and organized and do my, you know, due diligence. But a lot of times I wanted it to be very fresh when I talked to the healers and interviewed them. So I didn't ask them anything beforehand.
Wow.
I didn't want to know really almost anything. And I was very worried that they would be repetitious or contradict each other or, but it just dovetailed perfectly. It was amazing. One really focuses on love. One really focuses on acceptance. One really focuses on gratitude. And so it was like this perfect dovetail, you know, where it just meshed beautifully. And and what's funny is a couple of these healers, one lives in the town next to me, one lives in my same town across the lake, and I had never met her. But what I think was so important to me in finding local healers was, one, you know, I don't have access to Deepak Chopra and people like that, but two, I've seen a lot of films like that where it's kind of the same people and they have a lot to offer and they have, you know, beautiful things to offer, but that is what they do. They give people advice and insights about, you know, their particular area. And I wanted to ask people who deal with people in pain every day. I wanted to ask people, women, especially older women who have been doing this for a long time and who aren't used to being on film. And I just wanted this real genuine kind of authentic, you know, understanding of what they feel is important, what helps them heal, what, you know, moves them forward.
Wow. So you basically, what I'm hearing is that you kind of didn't really know much about this type of work or this type of healing. Is it safe to say it's energetic healing most of the time?
I think so. I mean, you could, there are different ways to, I guess, categorize it. One of the healers is an acupuncturist, but she went through, she has very deep knowledge of traditional Chinese medicine. She went to a 3-year college to learn. And she actually trained with a personal physician to the Dalai Lama. Wow. Which I've known her 20 years and I never learned that because she's so humble until I did this film. And then another is a massage therapist. They all own their own businesses. They're all amazing women. And she owns a beautiful business that has massage therapy and other healing modalities and Reiki and yoga classes. Another woman is older than the other two. She got her divinity degree at 70. She's amazing. And she's a social worker, you know, well, she's a counselor with a master's in social work. And she does healing touch and she's a certified nurse. So she's a healer in all these different modalities. So they all have a real wealth and diversity of experience. And that was really fascinating because I didn't want to do a one-dimensional film. I wanted to get really different ideas. And I wanted to also ask, I felt like I've always wondered what they feel like when they're actually working on you. You know, what do they feel like? What's going through their minds? What do they kind of connection do they feel? What energetically do they feel? So I asked them questions like that too in the film.
Yeah. Is because this was so kind of new to you, how did you feel about people that are doing this work? Did you go through a skeptical Because I'm a real skeptic, believe it or not. I do this work and I'm like, my middle name is skeptic. So I need proof. And I always come to it with a lens of, okay, yeah, show it, prove it to me. So did you go through any of that, or you just easily accepted it, or how did you feel about their work?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's more experiential. I mean, with the acupuncturist, I've been going to her for 20 years and I have experienced tremendous healing. You know, she's amazing. So I was very open to that. And I was always curious about the philosophy kind of behind it a little bit, you know, what, but she's, all these women are basically just true healers. In a lot of ways. They have a healing energy that I think is kind of undeniable. And I come from a background of social sciences. I'm not, you know, I'm very practical and skeptical too. So it's not that massage therapy, I think massage therapy, acupuncture, and healing touch actually all have been, have evidence in studies that they have been effective. I mean, that's why some insurance companies cover some of those modalities, because they require it, I think. So I think there are dimensions beyond the actual physical healing that I wanted to explore too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something about the presence of a healer that I think is really deeply healing. And it's like the presence of, you know, artwork too. You know, their beauty, all those things, you feel it. Do you need proof that you feel it, you know?
So how would you explain the connection between healing and art and beauty and all of that? How does that jive in your head?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this, because I've been trying to figure out how I piece these together in a way that makes sense to me. Healing, to me, I define it as becoming as whole as possible, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, because we all have limitations. And so it's as whole as possible. But I think to heal, we have to have an openness about us, you know, a receiving quality. And yes. I think beauty can be a portal to that. I think beauty opens us up. I think as humans, we're hardwired to be attuned to beauty. And I think we're also a culture that's pretty starved for beauty.
Yes.
And so, and I just think it's necessary for humans, and we often deny it. And I think that if we open ourselves up, I think beauty can be one of the ways that we open ourselves up to healing energy. As far as creativity, I say in the film, consciously participating in your own healing can be a very creative act. And so I think a big part of what my message is that I've learned kind of, I mean, that just came to me when I was filming. And I think it's to see healing as a creative process and not necessarily as a grim duty or something you have to get through, that is something that, that there's an artistry to it. And I was thinking about an example and how I see it. And I've been trying to embody this and do it myself. And, you know, I can't talk about it and not try to do it myself. So basically, for me, consciously participating in my own healing means making choices that bring me a little closer to peace or wholeness. So if, for example, like Unfortunately, at night, sometimes I get, that's my downtime. That's, and I will get kind of sad or overwhelmed or whatever. And I could choose to scroll through social media and distract myself, or I could choose to look out the window at the night sky or go outside and look up at the stars or even the clouds. And for me, that seeing that vastness and that perspective is very healing. And so that would be a choice that I'm making to be more whole, to bring myself more peace. So basically, to sum it up, I think we have to be open to receive healing. I think beauty can help us. It can be kind of a gateway to that healing energy. And I think that healing can be creative. It can be a creative process. And I think that it might open doors for people to see it that way. It has for me.
Yeah. It's interesting, as you're talking, as usual, when I do these little chats, I get filled with questions to ask. The first thing that comes to mind is that when I used to have time and lived closer to museums, I used to go to them all the time. And I found that I would walk in a particular headspace or an emotion. And when I would leave there, I would feel completely different. I would feel uplifted. I would feel my energy. I didn't have the words for it then, but my energy had expanded. Is it kind of like that? Is that pretty much what you're trying to say as well?
Yeah, that's exactly, okay. That's exactly it. I felt the same thing. And that's exactly why I made a mini retreat around film, because I felt like I wanted to create this experiential, uplifting experience or around art and around beauty. So I created a mini retreat that brings the healer's insights into your daily life. That's what it's supposed to, you know, focused on. So we talk a lot about what the healers have said in the film. It's around, designed around the film, but it's focused on beauty. And one of the areas that I talk about in beauty is the beauty of human creation. And I talk about paintings. And because I think what I realized is when people think about the healing power of art, they think about making art. They think it's art therapy. They think I have to draw. And I know from experience, I came back to art kind of late in life, in my late 20s. I mean, I didn't do art for a long time. And so I know that everybody isn't comfortable drawing or painting or feels like that's their expression. But I do feel like there's a tremendous healing power of art in being around art, in experiencing art that touches. And I think that's something I wanted to explore. And actually I ended up doing psychological research, research into studies, psychology studies about what happens to your brain when you look at art and all kinds of things like that to prepare for the mini retreat, because I wanted it to really resonate. And what, there's one study that you might be interested in that says that when we look at a work of art that touches us deeply, our brain lights up in the same way that it does when we look at someone we love.
Wow.
And I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, we need to take a little bit of a break. I'm talking to Lori Blakely, the creator of the Healing Hands film and project. And after the break, she's going to share with us a little mini trailer about her film, so you get a sense of what it's like and the information in it, etc. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned, This is Royce Morales, and we'll be seeing her film in a couple minutes.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Transform your life from triggered to empowered with the Perfect Life Awakening program. Royce Morales's extraordinary, enlightening, spiritually based teachings that get to the core of subconscious underlying motivations driving your life. With more than four decades as a transformational facilitator and author, Royce Morales offers ways to awaken your deserving, authentic existence, free from paralyzing issues, repetitive patterns, and programmed fears, while simultaneously awakening your spiritually aware, higher consciousness, purposeful self. Perfect Life Awakening offers remote group classes and one-on-one sessions to explore even deeper levels. Check out Royce Morales' books, Want, True Love, Past Lives, and Other Complications, Know, A Spiritual Wake-Up Call, and Back, Rebirth After Stroke. Learn more about Perfect Life Awakening and Royce Morales. Visit RoyceMorales.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Several years ago, I lost several people close to me within a very short time, and it changed me. My name is Laurie Blakely. I'm an artist, and I wanted to learn how to cultivate a sense of peace. I thought healers would be wonderful to collaborate with because they work with people every day who are struggling and are trying to maintain balance. So I'm interviewing and filming a variety of healers and casting each healer's hand and creating a sculpture around it.
Someone said I was like a midwife for the dying, which I love that because of the love.
The outer world affects us, we affect the outer world. So the more harmony that human beings can create within themselves, that of course flourishes through the world system.
Some of my most healing moments, you know, did come out of the most struggling times. I think gratitude is huge in helping my heart expand and feeling that joy in my heart, allowing myself to feel the joy, not just envisioning it.
My friends told me about a sound healer, and she is creating the music for the film and for a soundscape for the sculptures. through this project, I want to create a space where people can come and reflect on how they can feel more fulfilled. Because I think consciously participating in your own healing can be a very creative act.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. And the music, tell us a little bit more about the music, because it's just so haunting.
The sound healer is amazing. And I found her through friends too. They just said, oh, you should find Siri. She's, you know, and she was teaching yoga in town. And I don't know if she, I don't know if she sang that much for her classes. I mean, I think some, she does chanting, but anyway, I met with her. I talked to her a couple times about doing it. And then we went to a church with someone who did sound. And I said, just please move through a variety of emotions, you know, just kind of do a trajectory. Cause you know, the film kind of does moves through kind of different emotional paths, you know, from kind of sadness to, you know, it moves. And that's all I said. And she just kind of got in the groove, and I had no idea whether it would work. You know, I really wanted it to work. I thought having a sound healer would be phenomenal as a soundtrack, because that would be therapeutic in some way, or therapeutic feeling just from the experience of the film, from the music too. And but a lot of times when people sing and there's voiceovers, it doesn't sound right, you know, and someone's speaking, because our minds want to hear the human voice, you know. So there's kind of this cacophony, and so I wasn't sure it would work. But it's one of those things too that just worked perfectly. It was like when I started to put it together, it just flowed. And she's so phenomenal. The film was shown to a group of incarcerated individuals.
Wow.
Their chaplain of the grief and loss support group showed the film to them. And they asked for the music for their meditation class. So yeah, it's just people respond to the music so intensely. It's just, it touches your soul.
Yeah, definitely. So it was shown to incarcerate. Wow. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the whole, what I would like to do, I mean, the whole goal of this whole project is to get the film and hopefully the mini retreat out there. So, because I wanted to do something that felt restorative, that gave people a space to contemplate their own personal healing journey. And that's why there's different perspectives and different ideas. And you're supposed to kind of, I hope you go inward and just think about what's relevant to you and what resonates. So, I'm hoping to take this to, you know, book clubs and, you know, groups of friends and retreat centers and yoga centers and spiritual groups and grief support groups. I think it would resonate with all those and more. So basically, that's my goal. And the mini retreat is to kind of deepen the experience of the film and bring the healer's insights into your daily life. So people can either do a retreat or they can watch the film. And when they get access to the film, there's also, I have a page and there are discussion questions and things like that. So so the chaplain approached me and asked if she could do this with her group. And to be honest, I thought they wouldn't be that interested. So I thought, you know, it's a bunch of old women, you know, is this going to feel real relevant? And she said, yeah, it definitely will. And there's a lot of, she had seen the film, she came to a live screening, and There's a lot of nature footage in the film too, which I think is restorative also. So that's my goal right now, is getting it out in the world. And they responded very positively. The way they paid for it was to give me their responses and what touched them, and that was really meaningful.
Yeah. Oh, that's a weird noise.
Did you hear that? Yeah. I don't know what's. I keep hearing kind of odd noises too. I don't hear them behind me.
Okay. Well, it wasn't me. We just have these technological things going on here. I think it's the universe. So what was I going to ask? So you call it a mini retreat, but give us some more details about what that actually looks like.
Yeah, I spent a long time trying to figure out what would be interesting and what would be different. I think part of me as an artist, I'm always looking for some like different angle, something I haven't seen before that I want to bring out. And so this is a 2-hour live Zoom retreat, and it's for small groups. So it's not one of those where you sign up for a course and you're with 5,000 other people. This is just for your little group. And basically you watch the film and then we have a short discussion. And then I designed all these interactive activities, and they include polls and experiments and visualizations. That's how I teach, is I'm very interactive. And there's time for contemplative stuff too in it. But it's all organized around the healer's ideas, but I'm not a healer. So I interpret them through the lens of an artist. And I relate them all to beauty. So we go through the beauty of the visual world, the beauty of our physical awareness, the beauty of our imagination, the beauty of human creation, and the beauty of nature. And it's really about discovering things about yourself. So it's all the experiments and stuff are really just to find out what you resonate with and what personally is interesting to you and might open you up to more meaning in your life.
Wow. So what about future plans? Are you going to do another film? Are you going to, what's on the horizon for you? What are your intuitive dreams in your bathtub telling you to do next?
I think I'm really called to distribute this film now, because I feel like I spent so many years on it. And I think the healer's insights are so profound and helpful to people that I really do think it's restorative. You know, it's comforting. I think we're in a really hard time right now. Most of us, it's just a time of a lot of challenges. And so I feel like that's kind of what I'm called to do right now. And the mini retreat is a way to extend that too. And add what I feel like I can give to that whole moving some peace out into the world idea. So that will take a lot of my time, I think. But I do want to get back to more painting, you know, just to kind of return to some making myself, because making a website and distributing and getting all those materials kind of together and video, you know, promotional videos and all that kind of stuff, that's tremendous, a lot of work. And I'm ready to just do it, you know, just like, and then also do some art for myself. But anyway, to also go back to the idea is of the, getting it to prisons. Part of what I want to do too is to spread this to, you know, people who can't afford to pay for it. And so so I'm very interested in just getting this idea and the healer's insights out. I think they're really powerful women, and their presence is healing. And I think we can use healing presence in our lives.
Yes.
And where we can get it now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that you said, I'm not a healer. Well, I think you are. You're a midwife to others that are healers, and which makes you a healer too.
Interesting. Other people have said that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Your energy is very, very healing. It really is, just by being you. We only have a few minutes left, and I keep kind of avoiding this one question that I have, because I'm just curious your take on this. When I was an art major in college, I went through some experiences of loss. I mean, they weren't huge, you know, I didn't lose my parents or my husband or whatever, but I'd broken up with a few boys, shall we say. And it, to me at that time in my life, it was tragic. It was just, oh my God, my boyfriend broke up with me or disappeared or ghosted me or whatever. And I found that during those times of pain and loss, my creative process just blossomed. And I used to kind of turn it into a joke, because I said, if I'm happy, I can't create. How do you feel about that? What is your take on that?
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. I think I do, personally, I do use it as a way to process my feelings a lot of times. So I would totally get that, you know, you would be drawn to work through some of those feelings in art. I think why I keep thinking about beauty and its importance in our lives is, I think, partly because it can be all those things. It can be like poignant, it can be sad, it can be delightful, it can be, you know, and I think art can be that way too, but I don't feel like we're that kind of art is taken that seriously. Also, if you were in art school, to be honest, you know, I mean, pretty happy stuff is not usually, you know, celebrated in critical views of art.
What you're saying, that Bob Rossi's Happy Little Trees don't
not in a lot of museums. We'll just say that. Yeah. I mean, I think happy art has a place, but you know, I think the more happy art we can create, there's I think that whatever we are feeling though when we make art, I think it is imprinted in the art.
Yeah.
You know. And so I do try to be aware of that when I'm making something that's not just for me. That's not just like a, you know, I'm in a bad mood kind of art, you know. But when I'm making something that I want to put out in the world, I do try to kind of center myself before. And I'm very aware of what I'm listening to when I'm making it. Like if it's a podcast, I want it to be uplifting, or if it's music, I want it to be calming. There's something about how that flows through me that I'm very aware of. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So
I don't know if that answers your question, but
a little bit, but I'm just curious, because I would be in these, you know, horrible grief states, but doing art never helped me per se. It just allowed me to be more creative. So, I think a lot of artists just kind of are, I mean, gosh, Van Gogh, I mean, all these artists that you hear their life stories, and they were living in such pain and poverty and angst, you know, yeah. I'm just wondering about that. You know, because
Van Gogh created such amazing beauty too. Yeah. Yeah.
But they never got out of that state of angst, you know? They just
I think to me, I would guess, this is my, you know, what in my view is that there's a rawness that we're responding to. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think when you're really deeply authentic and honest, you know, and you create something that you feel it. And probably Van Gogh's, you know, no one liked it. So he had no incentive to do what he did, yeah. to make art like he did, because he got no rewards. It was so authentic and raw and honest. And I think that's why we respond to it so deeply. I don't know. That's my.
Yeah. Or we respond to it, or we run from it, you know? Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll look at his work and I'll go, oh my God, I can't even take that in because the pain is just screaming. So yeah. And in fact, a lot of artists, I feel that way about. Yeah. So in the time that we have left, which is only a few minutes, tell us how people can get in touch with you, how they can watch your film, how they can do your mini retreats. Give us all of your contact information.
Okay, well, the best place to learn all about this is healinghandsfilm.org. That's really kind of a one-stop shop. that would be the best place. There's places to ask me questions on there, so you can email me through the website. There's all frequently asked questions, a whole page on the mini retreat, a little video on the mini retreat. And you can also, if I tried to make the mini retreat very affordable, but if you can't do that, I offer the film to small groups too. So you can rent access to the film or buy access to the film. And that includes a discussion guide, and that's there too. So everything's there.
Okay.
So healinghandsfilm.org.
Great. Are you going to try to, I hate to say it like this, but to expand it on a more global level for, you know, larger groups in some way, or is it more comfortable to keep it small?
Well, I could do large groups on Zoom, and I really would love to develop this into a full like day retreat. You know, and eventually in travel. That would be quite easy to do, excuse me. in terms of, you know, I have the material and I have all kinds of ideas about what I think would be fascinating to do and fun. But I'd like to expand it eventually, but I'm starting with small groups first. Or it can be a large group. I mean, it's Zoom, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah.
And people could, I've set it up so that people could, if you have a monitor, you could gather in a living room with some friends and just have one person tally up the experiments and polls, you know, so that it's very, very interactive and very interpersonal then, and kind of just, you know, like your fun group getting together, or a grief support group could, if they, you know, put up a monitor, could do it that way too, as part of a meeting. Or you could all do it so that you're gathering in your own spaces and still be a group on Zoom. So, you know, it can be as large as people want it. But I think I say small groups just so that people know they don't have to be some corporation and it's not $5,000.
Yeah. But what about the film itself? Are you going to try to get it distributed by larger organizations or companies?
Eventually, maybe. I might try to get it on PBS first. Hmm. I did an interview, a half-hour interview with the local PBS station on a show. There's a show under the frequently asked questions too. If you want to learn more about it, there's a PBS show on it where they interview me. And I think it would be really nice to do that. And then usually what people go through is the distribute it themselves and then PBS and then try to get a distributor. But
yeah.
So it's kind of I took a film distribution course too.
head.
All I do is take courses and learn things. And that's what they told me to do.
Well, they might be looking for lots of things right now because the writer strike. So you never know. Timing of it. So tell us one more time how to get in touch with you.
Healinghandsfilm.org is probably the best way.
Okay.
And you can message me there. And just so people understand the process real quick, when you buy the film, you can buy the film or the mini retreat directly on the website.
Okay.
And then you get a PDF, you fill out the form, and then I send you a link.
Great.
It's real simple.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. I really appreciate your time and good luck with this film. It's so important. And everybody listening, go check it out. It's just a beautiful watch. And thank you. And just to end, deserve to awaken to your perfect life and make sure to include the power of unleashing your own creativity and your own beauty. I will see you guys next week. Thank you again, Lori Blakely.
Thank you.